Welcome to The Mindful Dog Parent, the podcast for overwhelmed and anxious dog owners who are doing their best but still feel like they're getting it all wrong. I'm Sian, a trauma-informed coach and ethical dog trainer. I created this podcast because dog parenting isn't always cute reels and perfect walks. Sometimes it's tears after training, guilt in the quiet moments, or just feeling like you're the only one struggling. If you've ever said, I love my dog, but this is really hard, you're in the right place. Each week, I'll bring you calm, compassionate guidance to help you build confidence, regulate your emotions, and reconnect with your dog, even when things feel messy. Because you're not failing, you're just overwhelmed, and you don't have to figure this out on your own. Today, we are talking about something I see every week with my clients, in messages, and even in myself as well, and that is the endless cycle of searching for tips. You know when your dog's behaviour is stressing you out, you start scrolling Instagram, you are watching every YouTube video, you're trying the 5 best recall tricks, hacks, and then nothing seems to stick. And then you might start to see that sinking feeling kind of kick in. And you might be asking yourself questions like, why isn't this working? Am I just really bad at this? And a question I've heard before more than once, is my dog just broken? You're not failing and your dog is not being stubborn. I know it feels like that's the case, but it's just not true. There is a reason why those tips aren't working and it goes deeper than you think. So that is what I want to unpack on today's episode. So for me, my example of this kind of happening, this can be just in life generally. So for me, it would potentially be my food intolerances. So I struggle with food intolerances. I have for years. Don't necessarily still quite know exactly what I'm intolerant to, but I've got a good idea and I try to kind of manage it. But when things start to not work, or I've eaten something that I thought was okay and then I start to have a reaction, these kind of feelings start to happen because I feel like I've done the research and I've looked for the tricks and tips and I find that those things don't work. So I've had to go kind of to somebody for help with it previously to figure it out. So I want to get really honest with this one, bringing it back into the dog training world. So you've got to have been there before. So I've done this with my own dog in the past as well. So you're Googling late at night, you are trying to search like how to fix reactivity in 3 steps, and you're looking at those videos, and I really wish we could ethically transform our dog's reactivity in 3 steps, but it's just so nuanced and so specific to every dog, it's just impossible. You're looking at carousels promising like instant recall, so then you go kind of armed with these tips the next day, you try it full of hope. I was talking to a client yesterday, actually, where they said, you know, we've tried to get our dog to look at us in different situations because those are the tips that you see online, like have your dog checking in. And that is one of the things that I say that you need to start to kind of build with your dog, getting those check-ins, but it does go deeper. You're full of hope and then your dog's barking and lunging or tuning out and not listening to your recall, and then guilt starts to flood in. So dog mum guilt, dog parent guilt is something that I kind of refer to in a previous episode. So do check those previous episodes out because I don't want you to kind of get stuck into that cycle. That's why these episodes exist. And like I say, I've been there as well. So I remember kind of frantically bookmarking every video on stopping my dog reacting. So Maisie used to be a reactive dog. She was a rescue. She's a German Shepherd cross Labrador. I keep saying she was a German Shepherd cross lab. So she was relatively big. She wasn't like super huge like some of the German Shepherds because she's mixed. I think she must have been mixed with a smaller Labrador or had a smaller German Shepherd parent, but it was still difficult to manage. So I didn't want those walks to keep feeling like a battle. I'd try one tip, then I'd try another tip, and then I'd start mixing them all together. And every time it didn't work, I just started to just feel like I was failing her. But here is the thing that I want you guys to remember. So this is stuff that happened before I know what I know now and all the work that I've done in understanding and building my knowledge with this. the cycle's not there that you're kind of getting stuck in. It's not there because you're lazy. It's not there because you're clueless. It's not there because you're doing things all wrong. And it's definitely not there because you're not good enough. It is because you're overwhelmed and your dog is too. So tips are great. I'm not putting a big downer on tips. I give tips myself as well because I think they are really helpful. For those kind of clients who need something that is a quick win, which there are some out there, I try and put those tips out there to help with that. But they can't work in a dysregulated state. So imagine this scenario. You're trying to read a recipe. You have this recipe in front of you, but the kitchen's on fire around you. Imagine that kind of scenario. You are just stood there trying to read a recipe, but this kitchen is on fire. So that is the nervous system dysregulation. You are trying to ask your dog to do something, recall for example, but they're dysregulated and overwhelmed and their nervous system's on fire. So it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to work. So here is why that happens. The tips are there to tell you what to do. So it's the to-do. They're surface level actions. They're things that you can go away and practically take away and do. But behaviour isn't just about what to do. It is about state. So we're going deeper. We're thinking about emotional state and nervous system state. So if your dog, for example, is anxious or fearful or even overexcited, their brain literally can't process that learning. Their nervous system's gone into a state of survival. So think about that analogy again, the kitchen being on fire. That recipe that you're trying to read is not going to be sinking in. You're not going to be learning it because that thing, this big thing around you is happening and it's just not going to work. So if you're then feeling tense, embarrassed, you're running on burnout and your body's sending that message through the lead to your dog, again, that's like a double-edged sword. Dogs are masters at reading us. They don't just hear our voice. They hear the tone and the pitch. They put it together with our body language signals. So they're kind of saying, well, are they happy right now? Or are they feeling angry? And why are they angry? And all the things. They're analysing the smell that we're giving off. So if we're stressed, we let off a chemical smell and an imbalance that the dogs are going to be able to smell. So they're masters at reading us. And one of my clients is a great example of this scenario. She tried every recall cue and every recall hack online. But a dog's anxiety that I figured out was what was kind of at a deeper root of this meant that none of that was ever going to stick. It wasn't until we worked on her dog's and her own emotional state and kind of trying to build calm first. So we are like creating that calm connection before we're asking for that behaviour. That the exact same recall cue suddenly started to work. So the tip didn't change. The state they were in changed. And that's kind of where I'm trying to go with this. So the training tip is the training tip and it's a tool and it's great and you can use it at surface level if you are regulated and your dog's regulated. But with my client, her dog was anxious and that was what was stopping the situation from progressing. She couldn't get the training to a good place because she wasn't, and it's not her fault, she didn't know what she didn't know. I understood that her dog's anxiety was what was feeding this. Therefore, we worked on building confidence and trying to get a kind of an idea of what was triggering the anxiety, worked on that, and then the training that she was implemented started to work. So that's why you can stack 100 training hacks and still feel stuck. Until you build that calm and connection underneath all those training tips, those 100 tips that you're working on, they're just little plasters. So little diddy plasters that you're trying to put on a broken leg. There is something deeper that is going on that you have to get to the root cause of and figure out in order to see the change and start to kind of mend in the broken leg analogy, you're putting a big old plaster cast on the leg. You've got the x-rays, you've got the antibiotic. Like, hey, quick pause. If walks with your dog feel more chaotic than calm right now, or if you're feeling emotionally drained from trying to do it all, I want you to know something's coming soon that might just be exactly what you need. At the end of September, I'm running a free 4-day challenge designed to help overwhelmed dog parents like you reset, reconnect, and find a bit of calm again, both in yourself and in your relationship with your dog. I'll share more details really soon, but if that little spark of hope just lit up in you, make sure you're following the podcast and keep an eye on your emails. Because calm isn't out of reach, it just starts with connection, and I really can't wait to show you how. Now, back to today's episode. Anti-inflammatories, you've got the rest. Like, there's lots of things that go into helping that leg to be fixed and actually get back to a good place again. Same with training. So what do we do instead? The reframe is the training tips are tools, but the foundation that they sit on is your emotional state and your relationship with your dog. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. Training tips are tools, but the foundation that they sit on is your emotional state and your relationship with your dog. When you can pause and regulate yourself first, your dog learns to co-regulate with you, and that is amazing. If your dog can self-soothe and start to co-regulate with you, you're going to have that calm connection, you're going to have that great beautiful bond, you're going to be regulated, and that is the missing link for so many dog parents. It doesn't mean throw all the training tips out the window. It means layer those training tips on top of the calm and the safety and the trust. And they all start with you guys. So the Recall online training course that I've created is a really good example of this. So I've built a 7-step recall process to create reliable recall with your dog. This isn't an advert for that course. It's just a really good example of how that layering really helps. So my 7-step approach isn't here's in step one, here's some training exercises. In step two, here is more training exercises. In step three, here's more training exercises. All of the steps prior, so step 6 are the training games and the recall kind of things that you can practice, recall games you can practice with your dog. All the steps prior to that involve the relationship and your dog's kind of needs being met, and they're breed specific things. So are they a herding dog? Are they a guard dog? Are they a sight hound? Like, all of those things play a big part. It's also kind of looking at their well-being. We go into motivation. This isn't kind of making it really complicated. I've made these 7 steps and made things that you can go away and do. There's challenges in there and there's troubleshooting tips in there that you can go and do. And then when you get to step 6, you should both be in a place where you can feel like the training exercises and the games that you're playing are going to start to have an impact. And then step 7 is about taking it out into the real world and starting to implement it in a step-by-step approach, taking it outside. Those 7 steps should create that reliable recall, because we've done the layering of all these things first, then we've put the training in at step 6, and taking it beyond that in step 7. So that is a really good example of how this all works and how you can create reliable training responses from your dog in whatever situation, if you kind of start to think about it a little bit more detail than just, let's just practice some training exercises with them. So on that note, I'm going to give you some things that are practical to take away. And as with everything, I try to keep it as simple as I can. So this is going to take you less than 60 seconds. So I always try and do things that are really quick and easy. There are 3 things to do before you try any tip with your dog, whether it's with recall, loose lead, reactivity, impulse control. I do want you to pause for 60 seconds, less than in most cases, and do these 3 things. First one, as always, it's ground yourself. I'm going to keep talking about grounding yourself because I want you to start to make it something that you do on a regular basis. So that is feeling your feet on the ground, unclenching your jaw, having that awareness of what your body is doing and feeling right now. Take those slow breaths. That box breathing is going to help you with this as well. So you're telling your body that it is safe and there is nothing here to worry about. Then step two, I want you to check your dog state. So are they buzzing? Are they anxious? Are they tuned out? Just notice kind of what they're feeling. And if you need to, you can connect with them. So you can just be soft with them in terms of how you say their names, because like I said, they can hear how you say things in certain tones. If you're angry, if you're frustrated, if you're stressed, if you've grounded yourself, you should start to feel calmer. Your dog picks up on that. You're connecting with them. And if they're happy with it, you can offer them kind of gentle touch. If they're not super keen on handling and touch, doing some sniffing exercises that helps them to regulate because they're using that nose before you ask anything else. So let them get the sniffs in. You might have to do it for longer if it's kind of been something that's been prolonged. So if your dog's kind of had some anxiety and worries for a longer period of time, 60 seconds might not be quite enough time. But then, once you've done that, try the tip. So the tip that you found and you wanted to try, do those three simple things first, then try the tip. If you find that your dog hasn't checked in with you and isn't kind of thinking about you in that environment, it may be that you have to change the environment and make it easy. Just like I mentioned in my recall course, we kind of take it step by step, and environment is a big one. So if they're in a really overwhelming environment, you can try and regulate all you like, but the environment is still overstimulating. So go to an easier place and start to regulate again, and try and do the training tip in an easy place to set you up for success with this. So the reason that this matters is because you're teaching your nervous system and your dog's nervous system to come back to base. So come back to baseline before you add any learning in. So I talked about like nervous system baseline in the previous episode. You want to tell your nervous system, this is where we're at. We're safe. We don't need to go into fight or flight here. There's nothing to worry about. It's not life or death. We're all good. And then you can implement the training tip. And if the environment's right and your dog is regulating, it should work. It takes less than a minute, but if you commit to that for a week, you'll start to see your dog respond differently because you're showing up differently. So something that I sent out earlier this week and talked about earlier this week in an email and online on Instagram stories was, if you keep doing the same things, you'll always get the same results. You are trying to do something differently. You're trying to to set something up that's different to how you might normally do it. So your dog should respond differently as well, because you're doing it in a different way to how you always try and do it. So if you want to take it further, writing down some, just like a little journal prompt or a little diary prompt, it doesn't have to be anything complicated. If you try and write down just what tip you tried, how you felt beforehand, how your dog responded, you'll start to see patterns. So patterns are really helpful when it comes to behaviour or training. If you can write down some really simple things, like I always say to puppy clients, keep a sleep diary for your puppy. If they're getting gnarly in the evenings every evening, it might be that, oh, look at the sleep diary, they only had 12 hours sleep today. They needed 18 because of how old they are. That's why they're getting gnarly. You can see the pattern. So just with everything, you can try the training tip. You can try and write down how you felt before, how your dog responded, and see some patterns. Calm connection first makes every tip more effective, I promise. So if this has landed, those are kind of the things that I want you to work on, some little things to take away. My free guide is still available, Practical Strategies for Overwhelmed Dog Parents. It's available on the website. I'll put it in the show notes as well. It has lots of gentle tools to help you and your dog start to regulate, reset and reconnect. If you've been craving a bigger reset, keep those ears and eyes open, because something gentle and powerful is on its way soon to help you build that calm connection step by step. This is a really great starting point. So something I want to sign off with is to remind you, as always, you're not failing. You are both, you and your dog, learning through all of this every single day, forever. You will always be learning. And your dog does not need to be perfect. They just need you to keep showing up. You don't need to be perfect for your dog. Your dog does not need to be perfect for you in terms of the behaviour that they offer. You just show up for them and that connection starts to build. So thanks so much for being here. I will see you next time on The Mindful Dog Parent. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Mindful Dog Parent. If this episode gave you something to think about, or it just made you feel a little less alone, I would love it if you followed the show and shared it with another dog parent who needs it. You'll find all the links and resources mentioned in the show notes at lavendergardenanimalservices.co.uk/podcast, and I would love to stay in touch, so head there if you want to explore more ways to work with me or get support.